Good morning and welcome to our worship today. The focus of our service is this. Jesus promises that discipleship does come with crosses, a unique type of pain. And so he tells us that we must count the cost of following him. And he wants us to do that now, ahead of time, rather than waiting until we are in the heat of the moment and emotions are running high. Let us always remember the blessings we have in Jesus. As the apostle said, the sufferings don't compare to the blessings we have in Christ. May God bless our time in his word today. We worship in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have brought us safely to this new day. Defend us with your mighty power, and grant that this day we neither fall into sin nor run into any kind of danger. And in all we do, direct us to what is right in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. We turn to our Lord and confess our sins. Almighty Lord, we have come together to stand in your presence, to hear your word, and to worship you. But who may appear in your presence, Heavenly Father? Who may call on you for help? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, he shall receive blessings from the Lord. O holy and righteous God, you alone can make us clean. We have rebelled against you time and time again, but your mercy never ends. It's new every day. So at your command and promise, we come to you and confess our sins. O holy and most merciful Father, I know that I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways, I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But at your gracious word, I come to you, and for the sake of my Lord Jesus Christ, I plead, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Having heard this confession of yours, I, as a called servant of the word, announce and assure you of your gracious Father in heaven that he has heard your prayer, and in his place, and because he has commanded it, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Peace be with you. Amen. We bow our heads in prayer. Lord, let your continual mercy cleanse and defend your church. And because it cannot continue in safety without your help, protect and govern it always by your goodness. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We turn to the Word of God for this 13th week of Pentecost. The first lesson is from the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30. Prior to settling within the Promised Land, the Lord wants his people to calculate carefully the choice between life and in death. We begin reading at verse 15 of chapter 30. The Lord says, "See now, today, I have set before you life and prosperity, death and disaster. This is what I am commanding you today. Love the Lord your God, walk in his ways, and keep his commandments, his statutes, and his ordinances. Then you will live and increase in number, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are going to possess. But if your heart turns away, and you do not listen, and you are lured away, and you bow down to other gods and serve them, then I declare to you today that you will most certainly perish. You will not live a long life on the land that you are about to enter and possess by crossing over the Jordan. I call the heavens and the earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, a blessing and a curse. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live by loving the Lord your God, by listening to his voice, and by clinging to him. Because that means life for you, and you will live a long life on your land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." This is the word of God. Our second lesson is the epistle lesson today, from the Paul's letter to Philemon, chapter 1. And we'll read verse 1 and 7 through 21. The case of the escaped slave, Onesimus, returning to his owner, Philemon, is a perfect example of the cost in following Jesus. Paul encourages Philemon to free Onesimus and embrace him as a brother. We read, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and co-worker. For I have received great joy and encouragement from your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. For that reason, even though I have plenty of boldness in Christ to order you to do what is proper, I am appealing to you instead on the basis of love. Just as I, Paul, am an old man and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I am appealing to you on behalf of my child Onesimus. I became his father while I was in chains. There was a time when he was useless to you, but now he is useful both to you and to me. I have sent him, who is my very heart, back to you. Welcome him. I wanted to keep him with me, so that he might serve me in your place while I am in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that your kindness would not be the result of compulsion, but of willingness. Perhaps this is why he was separated from you for a while, so that you would have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but as more than a slave, as a dear brother. He certainly is dear to me, but he is even more of a dear brother to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. And if he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, have written this with my own hand. I will repay it, not to mention that you owe me your very self. Yes, brother, I am asking for a favor from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I ask. This is the Word of God. And finally, we have our gospel lesson for today from Luke chapter 14. Jesus teaches us that following him closely will come at a cost. We begin reading verse 25. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus. Turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple." This is the gospel for today. We join in confessing our Christian faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate. He was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We turn now then to our message for today. Dear friends, a few years ago, a deputy sheriff in the state of New York, he was called to investigate a traffic accident. A drunk driver had crashed into the pumps at a gas station. Fortunately, none of them exploded. Even though the situation was under control, the driver was nowhere to be found. On a hunch, the sheriff walked into the nearby woods to look for the driver of that vehicle, and it did not take long. He found a man who was crashing around in the bushes. And as soon as the deputy shined his flashlight on the suspect, that suspect threw up his hands and surrendered. He was intoxicated. He was panting heavily, bleeding from numerous scratches, and he was at the point of exhaustion. He said to the sheriff, "You must be Superman. Man, you have been chasing me for 45 minutes, and you're not even winded. How did you do that?" Well, the sheriff had to laugh as he told the drunk driver that no one had been chasing him. In fact, the police had only arrived on the scene a few minutes before. The drunk man said, "You mean I've been chasing myself?" "I'm afraid so," said the sheriff. And the man replied, "Well, if I am that dumb, you might as well put me in jail." And he headed straight to the squad car. Can you imagine what that scene was like when that intoxicated man sobered up? How did it feel to know that he had been running away from himself all that time? In the beginning, no one was chasing him. Rather, his own fear, his guilt, drove him into the woods and ultimately exhausted him. Fear and guilt have a way of doing that. The letter to Philemon, our epistle lesson today, is essentially about a man who was running away from his crimes, running away from slavery, and in the end, he was running away from himself. His name was Onesimus. We've already heard the words. I'll read them again as we go through our message today. But as we focus on the words we have before us, let's just marvel at the miracle of God's grace. Of the Apostle Paul's 13 epistles, only four, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, and Philemon, are addressed to individuals. And of the four, this letter to Philemon is easily the most personal. This letter is a touching appeal from a pastor, Paul, to a church leader, Philemon, regarding a runaway slave named Onesimus. The theologian C.S. Lewis called this book of Philemon the most beautiful and intensely human of all Paul's epistles, full of charm and beauty. Here's the background of the book. Philemon lived in Colossae. When Paul had begun exploratory services there, it was Philemon who opened his home to Paul. Philemon was a very generous giver, a devoted worker. Onesimus was a slave in Philemon's household, and Onesimus had run away, perhaps with his pockets lined with Philemon's cash. As many slaves did, Onesimus eventually made his way to Rome, where he could blend in among the big city and the numerous nationalities. And it was there that something changed the direction of his life. What is the only thing that can change the direction of a person's life? The only thing is what Paul says. Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Onesimus heard Paul preaching the gospel, and through this means of grace, the Holy Spirit created faith in his heart, thereby changing the direction of his life. Now, instead of going that road that was leading to hell, he was on his way to heaven. And that's a miracle of grace. Grace which first of all leads us to forgive. I'll read verses 8, 9, and 10. Paul writes to Philemon, "For that reason, even though I have plenty of boldness in Christ to order you to do what is proper, I'm appealing to you instead on the basis of love. Just as I, Paul, am an old man and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I'm appealing to you on behalf of my child Onesimus. I became his father while I was in chains." Do you notice what Paul's appeal is based on? If he wanted to, Paul could have used his clout, and he could have ordered Philemon to let Onesimus stay in Rome, but Paul didn't do that. Paul knew that the purpose of the gospel isn't to change society's norms, but to change human hearts. And so Paul appealed to Philemon on the basis of God's grace, to forgive Onesimus and to welcome him back. What would you have done if you were Philemon? Your slave had run away. Well, this is what Philemon could have done. According to Roman law, the first time a slave ran away and was then captured, he would have been branded like a cow on the ranch. He was branded on the forehead. And then a metal collar, not on your ankle, but on your neck. A metal collar would be attached to your neck with instructions on the collar where the captors were to ship him. And if a slave tried to run away a second time and was captured, he would have been flogged and then crucified. But now let's go back to that question. What would you have done? On our trips these past several weeks, I didn't see any love testers. Do you know what those are? It's been a few years, but I remember seeing them either in a lobby of a gas station or a restaurant. What is a love tester? You would put in your quarter, squeeze the handles, and a red light would light up on a scale indicating the level of your love. My friends, what's the ultimate test of love? It's these three words. I forgive you. When family members, relatives, friends, perhaps co-workers, classmates, whatever it might be, when they sin against you, the ultimate test, as it was for Philemon, is for you to forgive. And on our own, we can't do that. Because our human nature loves to hold grudges. But when we look at the cross, we see the ultimate display of love. And looking at the cross, we can forgive. That's a miracle of grace, which leads us to forgive, but grace also changes us. Verses 11, 12, 13, and 14. Paul writes, there was a time when Onesimus was useless to you, but now he is useful both to you and to me. I have sent him, who is my very heart, back to you. Welcome him. I wanted to keep him with me, so that he might serve me in your place while I am in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that your kindness would not be the result of compulsion, but of willingness. With a fresh start now in his life, Onesimus had become a tremendous blessing to the Apostle Paul. Just like so many new Christians back then and today, Onesimus eagerly lived his faith. He became a wonderful co-worker with Paul. Onesimus was changed from a sinner to a saint, from a slave of the devil to a servant of Christ. You know, in the Bible, people's names told us a great deal about someone, more than they do today. Moses, that name meant drawn from water. Abraham means father. Peter meant rock. Well, do you know what the name Onesimus means? It means profitable one. Grace changed Onesimus. It empowered him to live up to his name. A man attempting to cross the Atlantic Ocean on his sailboat wasn't having much luck with the wind. It was so calm, and of course that meant that the boat was not sailing. And frustrated by his lack of progress, the man grabbed the mast of his sailboat and he began pushing and pulling against it. Well, the boat started rocking and created a few small waves. And encouraged by this, he pushed and he pulled more strenuously. But in the end, all he got was exhausted. The sailboat didn't go anywhere. And so is that also in our lives as Christians, in what we call our lives of sanctification. The source of our strength, the wind in our sails, comes from God's grace, and not our own grit or gumption or determination. Grace changes us so that we willingly, joyfully serve Jesus. Miracle of grace. Grace leads us to forgive, changes our lives, and grace also sees God's hand and will in our lives. The final verses. Paul writes, "Perhaps this is why he was separated from you for a while, so that you would have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but as more than a slave, as a dear brother. He certainly is dear to me, but he is even more of a dear brother to you, both in flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, welcome him as you would welcome me." What do you notice as Paul wraps up his appeal to Philemon? The first thing I notice is there's no excuses, no alibis, no rationalizations for Onesimus' past behavior. And the second thing you notice is how Paul points to the wonderful promise that God gives to Christians to take the bad and turn it into good. The good was that Philemon and Onesimus would share a special bond that they had not shared before. They would be brothers in Christ. Have you ever made excuses? We all have. No matter how lame or how good excuses are, they're just that. They're excuses. And to be very blunt, excuses just don't cut it with God. When you mess up, we need to admit it. Go to God's throne of grace, assured that he will forgive us. Have you ever questioned God's will? We've all done that too. No matter what happens, no matter what the hurt, no matter how bad, we have this promise from God. I will take the bad and turn it into good. As we conclude today, I want to share something that Martin Luther wrote about this little epistle that he loved so much. He said, "We are Christ's Onesimus. We're restored by Jesus, who, laying aside his rights, he came to live for us and die for us. And in so doing, he compelled our Heavenly Father to lay aside his anger and to make us his very own, now and forever. Amen. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. Amen. We pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. May the love of Christ draw us to himself. May the power of the Christ make us strong to do his will. And may the peace of the Lord Jesus fill our lives. Amen. God bless you. God bless your week.